Damn. That girl was fly, right?
Shy. But did you see that Liam Neeson's movie with them wolves, though?
The one with them big-ass wolves and Liam Neeson's in it?
Liam Neeson's is my shit.
Yo, Liam Neeson straight jacked up them wolves, man.
He fucked them wolves up, man.
Shoot, man.
Hey, and don't even get me started on that one when they took his daughter.
Straight Tooken, starring Liam Neeson's.
Man, Liam Neeson's on the phone like, I have a certain set of skills. Man, don't fuck with Liam Neeson's.
Don't even try and be rushing around.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
I can't find him. Where'd he go? Damian, can you check under the desk for me to make sure he's not hiding?
No, he's still here. He's just listening to the Yin Yang Twins. What's the name of that song? Silent.
The Whisper Song. The Whisper Song. I think is what it was called.
Rap was always bad. I changed my mind.
Oh, and that song in particular. Flag on the play.
And that is Douglas.
I'm retracting everything I said good about rap. Rap was always trash.
Does that mean Outkast technically isn't rap then?
No, I mean, it just means Outkast is technically trash.
Is Outkast technically rap though?
Half of it is.
Because there's a guy in a Pied Piper suit that...
It's a leprechaun.
I don't know what the hell he's doing.
So Damian, this week I've gotten myself caught into a YouTube hole, a YouTube trap. This has been going on for a long time. I don't know if any of you guys have watched this at all. But I've caught myself watching a lot of these Hot Wings interview clip videos.
Hot Ones.
Hot Ones, where this guy interviews famous people.
Yep.
And while they're interviewing, they eat progressively hotter hot wings.
Yes.
I think I have heard of this.
Yes.
And each one goes the same way. It's amazing.
Subscribe to the channel. So you probably have heard of it.
Each one goes the exact same way, which is fascinating to me. It starts out with, first of all, it's a clip of them at the end of the interview where they're threatening to murder people.
Yep.
Right? And then they go to the beginning of the interview where the people are like putting on a good face. They're like, I know this. Heat.
Yeah.
I can do. You guys think you're going to get me?
Yeah.
I'm good. I know how to deal with pepper.
Right.
And you just see progressively you get to the point where they're just like,
You know, and you can imagine like the white guys, they generally like it's known, right? They're like, but you can imagine like the black guys or you know, some other minority being like, I can do this.
Yeah.
I'm not white.
Yeah.
and
then they get
They they call the chicken wing operator person and they're like, listen, make it spicy. Import those papers, please.
So the one that got me is I saw this one with Idris Elba, which everyone has been posting like a gif from it of Idris just like sweating around the internet. And you see there's this point in that which I found amazing where basically he's sitting there and he must have hit his limit, but he's pushing through. And he's like, you know, talking to the guys interviewing him, he's like, did you come up with the idea for the show? And the guy's like, no, you see that guy in the blue shirt? He's the one who came up with the idea. And he's like, what's his name? Chris, you know how to fight?
And they don't give you any water or anything like that,
No,
right?
Man, you get...
No, they have water, but...
Oh, okay.
There's like water.
They have water.
And like cheese, like anything you need to get you through.
Oh, okay.
But... mostly men try to power through without anything, and damn near all of them fail because it's hot.
Yep.
And
it's
pepper can get really hot.
And they didn't grow up in Jamaica.
But even if you grew up in Jamaica, Damian, there is a level beyond which you and I cannot go.
Douglas, you didn't grow up where I grew up.
Are you saying, Damian, you want to do the Hot Ones challenge?
What I'm saying is, I grew up constantly on the Hot Ones Challenge. It was a way of life.
What I always find fascinating is as they're going through, like they show you the pepper bottle that they've used for the next piece of chicken.
Yeah.
And they tell you the Scoville rating, which I always knew was a thing that a number they just magically came up with to say, this is how hot a pepper is, right? And when they eventually get into the back half of the list, I'm like, these numbers must be like magic. No, like there's no science to these numbers.
It's like Dragon Ball Z parlors. But like a season, it was numbers that made sense. And then we're into millions. They're just like, just stop.
Just say, ouch, it hurts.
Just say Super Saiyan Pepper. That make more sense.
But anyways, pulling it back away from my weird YouTube rabbit hole, we're here this week to talk about the movie Fury. There's no Fast hair, only the Fury. As Agents we have... we have this Indonesian action movie starring one Madame. Why am I ruining this thing already?
Yeah, man.
Because I looked at the name and I went, Veronica. No, I'm ruining this name. I know this already. She is an ex-gangster living out in the countryside.
Yes.
And one day, someone tokens her daughter.
Yep.
And if there's one thing we've learned from action movies, number one, you don't take people's daughters.
Right.
And number two, you don't take Indonesian people's daughters because they know how to kung fu.
No, I mean, I agree with you. There are some key details that you're leaving out. But as we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Right. And then she, like the true action star, puts on her Liam Neeson hat and runs to go and get her daughter back at any cost. And we then learn about her past and all of those things, but it's about the kung fu in the fury of the kung foolery. Douglas, you were put with your back to the wall and just threw a dart and said, Fury.
Yep.
And said, I hope.
Well,
how did your bet pan out?
So... this is a movie I've been kind of eyeing for a little while. Obviously, you can tell by the type of movie it is, what it's about, that it would be something that I would just want to watch on a Saturday night. Also, it helped that there was a lot of positive feedback from the internet, in particular, the Rottenest of Tomatoes. I will say this for this movie. There's a little too much crying here going on. And when the kung fu comes in, it's not very fulfilling, right? There are some great scenes. What it does, because this is a fine movie. I like this movie. It follows the mold that it needs to follow. It is very much Taken. What I actually like in this movie over what I like in Taken is that in Taken, it's almost like, yes, I have a certain set of skills and I am Liam Neeson and I go over there and it takes me a number of days to get what I need to do done. This movie, they're no joking. She's like, wait, I lost my daughter. I'm running.
Right.
And this movie takes place over maybe 24 hours.
Maybe.
Right. And she literally runs from wherever she is in some outskirts of a town to Saigon in Vietnam, right? And she follows them and, you know, takes back her daughter. This is a pretty, it's an okay action movie. It's not what I wanted it to be. I wanted this to be, maybe not Raid level of action, but something similar.
You wanted something special.
Yeah, I wanted something special. I didn't quite get it. It was a good ride to kind of follow this lady. She had a couple of okay fight scenes, I think. And you know, it's not good when you have a hard time trying to think back to the specific ones that were the ones that you liked. I did like the progression of the bosses. I like the boss lady, right?
Right.
The boss lady was really good in this. I appreciated that she goes back. She, the protagonist, the mother, goes back to her stomping grounds in Vietnam, in Saigon, and is essentially just kicked out. The new boss is like, yeah, I'm the boss now.
Nah,
don't come talk to me. Oh yeah.
But I used to live here.
Exactly. And she's and she starts the name drop and she's like, yeah, they're all dead or in prison. What you gonna do?
Yeah, no one lives here anymore.
And she's like, go to the police. Which of course, because this is a movie, is what gets her to where she needs to go, right? She happens upon an open case file and boards of children. Yeah. But that's the sort of thing I forgive because we know what this movie is.
Yeah, we know what this movie is.
But I did have myself a nice little chuckle.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, this is a serviceable action movie. One thing I will say, one heavy disappointment that I had, especially after... It kind of got serious, but this really was a light movie. After the lightness of the movie, and the movie wraps up, spoiler alert, she saves her daughter.
What?
Oh, no. And there is a scene at the end, the very end of the movie, and it actually ends on this dialogue where the daughter, who, by the way, is being cute as hell, she is the new Cassie. She's great. She needed to be in more of this movie, but happy. And I don't know how you do that when you get kidnapped, but that should have happened.
You can have somebody like babysitting, like doing cute things just to keep her happy.
I guess.
I mean, you could.
You could. But, you know, then we'd not like this movie. But yeah, she's been cute as hell. And she, because it's clear she didn't quite realize how much of a badass her mother was. So she's now, you know, saying, hey, mom, I want to learn Kung Fu. Teach me. And I can't remember exactly what she says, but she says, like, okay, I'll teach you. But one thing you have to do is, and then she says what you have to do and the movie ends. They chose the wrong thing because it was some, you know, like heartstring thing, like, oh, you have to get up when you fall down or some bullshit like that. What it should have been is like, only if you do your homework.
Right.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's right. You know.
The callback.
You see, yeah. You're saying they had to Dragon Ball it. You had to have Chi-Chi telling Gohan.
Because at the start
you have to come in and study.
She was like, listen, you have to focus on your studies.
Yeah.
And so it was a callback to the start of the movie. She would just be like, oh, yeah, man, I'll teach you to kick people in the face.
Yeah.
Once you pass your subjects.
And then it ends on the cheesy still frame of her looking serious and the daughter going, huh?
Right.
Yeah, it'd be great. That would make the movie, you know, a 95% run. Which it is, by the way. It's like 90-something percent.
I'm surprised.
Which is why I was fairly confident that I was going to like this movie. And I did, but not as much as I wanted to. It's not that good. Yeah. Damien, what was your feeling of this?
So this lady leaves a life of crime behind so that she could raise her daughter. She gets pregnant. And her new quiet, low-key job that she takes to take care of her daughter is to kick people in the face. And do collections? When I saw it, I was just like, oh, this is a comedy. They know that I know that this is ridiculous. But it wasn't that. They didn't run with that. That was just a dumb decision. So, like, you know, it would be a quiet, you know, easy job for this lady to have with her special set of skills out in the countryside. Debt collection. Having children tease you that your mother collects debts is also a thing I've never seen in history. So that was weird. I didn't know children tease people about that. And there was another scene where she was cooking something for the daughter. And the daughter is just like, this, you need to cook this. And the mother is like,
eat
that
it anyway.
Very good. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, that was very good.
Shit. Eat it. And the daughter is just like, no, it's all right. I cook actual food. I don't know. And the mother's like, where did you get that from? And she's like, I cook this. And she's like, all right, show off. All right. And so there's fat time. I thought that there was going to be like a through line of comedy in this movie. Once the daughter gets taken, all of that is out the window. My disappointment with this movie is that the action scenes, even though they ramp up in terms of scale, they don't. The earlier action scenes felt more grounded. I don't know if it's because it was in daytime, it looked better, like it was easier to follow. Like the last two action scenes on that train was they were just bad.
Yeah, I remember them looking really rough.
Especially that final showdown with the guys with the guns was just garbage. Like that is that. I don't know if it's like there's times you're like
she just kind of disappeared and yeah, reappeared.
Yeah,
I love that.
She pulled that Arya Stark. It just looked bad. And while I did enjoy the final boss, like the things surrounding how they, like for you to be walking around with hatchets trying to kill this lady. And then when you knock her out, you're just like, how about we put you in handcuffs and drop you in the water? Like that, like some of those things, like they're planning to cut up these children for parts. So I don't see why they're just like, oh no, let us not kill this lady. Let us kill her, then throw her in the water. I don't know why that wasn't a possibility. But the thing I did appreciate earlier is her physically running down the people. She's just like, my daughter has been taken, and she's stealing bikes, running on foot, jumping in the back of. She's just like, listen, I have to catch these people. Mm-hmm. But once it
you
gets
always
to
the, felt the urgency, and that was as you said, one of the
once
things
it
I
gets
like
to the police
movie.
Station, then the movie started to decline, and then once she met the final boss the first time, then the movie started to like it really started to lose me. I like you say this is a 95. I don't know what those people are watching. The fight choreography isn't that great.
No, it's not.
The scenarios, yeah, the scenarios aren't that inside a train car fight scenes in that type of darkness. Also, not it's not imagine like the earlier fight scenes were like when she was in the water fighting the guy the first time. Like the bike crashes and she goes in the water and she teleports around the wall. And like, yeah, it's like, oh, that's right. Having half of your body submerged in order to generate enough force to kick someone would be damn near impossible. But you're like, it looks good. I like this. But like halfway through this movie, I was just no longer impressed by any of it. The movie just kind of fell flat. And there was, like, it's a movie where it's Liam Neeson in Vietnam. You know what this movie is. And so I thought that they'd have put more effort into making it, you know, more special, but none of it feels all that special. It's by no means bad. It's not a movie that I'm going to come here and shit on because it's kung foolery. Like, at some point, you understand what these movies are. But I really was expecting something more, even a little bit more. I was amused that there's this female assassin, and so of course the final boss is also a female assassin. And I like the difference everyone, like everyone just called the final boss, boss. Didn't have a name. Yeah. Not boss, what? No first name, no last, just boss. Did enjoy that. But, you know, the movie kind of petered out for me. And those final fight scenes were just, they're just bad. Just not, they didn't look good. No. So, and if you think I'm going to come here and talk about the story of a Tukan movie, oh, come on.
What if we talk about a Vietnamese Tukan movie?
No. There's no
difference. Alright, just checking. Yeah. I am 1000% with Damien on this one. Mm-hmm. It's like, I went into this movie looking for Ico doing the raid things.
Yep. Right.
I did not get any Ico's. Mm-hmm. There was some good choreography here and there. Yes. Like, they did some stuff, right?
That but by the end, the mechanic was pretty good, with his mother crying the entire time. It's pretty good.
And he's like, okay, I will help you now.
Yes. I like how they cut away and then you see him alive. He's like, all right, I'll help you.
I suppose the nurse wasn't bad. When she...
and I mean...
Yeah, right.
That's, got out of the hospital.
Right. I think that was the last...
Last funny bit.
Yeah.
And Damien mentions a whole bit about her being a collections agent.
Yes. Yep.
I don't remember thinking of that being as funny as Damien is making it out to be.
Because it's so ridiculous. But no,
hearing it. Yeah. This is the best thing this movie... Right. This movie should have just been a comedy of her taking out collections on people. Right. And...
Right. She's like... Oh, my quiet life away from the big city of crime is to commit crimes in the hillside.
And the thing about it is that they should have treated it like how people treat John Wick.
Yeah.
Where he just shows up and they're like, are you back?
Yeah, if they did that, they're like, oh, shit. If everyone saw her, I was just like, no. Like, the police chief should have been like, God damn it, she's back. Because everyone abject panic once she shows up.
You're just like, oh my god, they sent her up to me. But yeah, this movie was one of those movies where I was surprised by it because it was more than just average, but I'm also disappointed that it wasn't more special.
Yeah.
Right, especially with the way it starts out. Douglas talks about the act of her physically running down these people for like that first sequence of her chasing her daughter. And it never gets into, during that sequence, it never gets to full like raid level of her. Like, it's more manic. It's more her just being like, look, I know I need to do this one thing. I don't care that I didn't punch this guy right now. I'm going. Right? Mm-hmm. And it works. Right. It makes for engaging movies. And but by the end, like, it just kind of felt eh.
Yeah.
It's fine. Douglas, you're right. The schoolgirl joke would have been better.
Yep.
At the end.
We should write movies.
We really should. All right, let's put Velociraptors on the board.
I mean,
first.
Right. That's the name of our company.
Yeah.
Velociraptors Productions.
No. This is not the Velociraptor production. There's no way we're naming it Velociraptor Productions.
Then what would we name it? We can't name it Tom. That's too obvious.
I guess we could name it the unnamed Velociraptor Productions.
It's too long. We can't get a logo for that.
I know someone who's specialized in logos who can do some
graphic designers. No, nightmares. Like, what is that? The what? No.
I don't know, what should we call it? Velociraptor sounds bad.
Raptor Man. Raptor Board Man Productions.
What?
V Raptor Productions.
Or we can just call it Kawhi Leonard.
I'm fine with that. Anyways, yes. Fury, is there anything else we want to say about the Kung Foolery?
Not really. No.
every year BBC does a report on like Shaolin monks, and every year me and my mother laugh because what happens is they tell you every 3 years you can go from being an apprentice to like a full warrior monk or whatever.
Is this about the monkey dance guy?
So you've seen some of this?
I've seen the BBC video. Right. And I saw in my YouTube feed somebody like reacting to the video, and I haven't watched that.
So every year they put out basically the same report where they're just like, Shaolin monks, train for... And every 3 years they get the opportunity to go in front of a panel and read some scripture and do like a routine. And from, let's say, 10 years ago, the first time I saw this report, my mother looked at it and went, why do they test? And because guess what happens after you take the test? You go back to training and learning scripture. So literally yesterday, you were training and reading scripture. Today is the test. And whether or not you pass or fail the test, guess what tomorrow is? Training and reading scripture. Just don't do the test. Just skip that. Like, all this pressure that is on them to do the thing they were doing the day before. It seems so weird. And we've never understood. But it is still fascinating to watch them... to watch people dedicate themselves to do things that for a long time I thought wasn't a real... Like, I thought the Shaolin monks was a creation of Hollywood. I didn't realize that they were real people.
The Wu-Tang Clan!
Right. Until about 15 years ago, you could have told me that the Wu-Tang and Shaolin were the same thing. Like, I wouldn't have known the difference.
Is Method Man a Shaolin monk in your mind?
I'm pretty sure he is. I know Redman didn't make it.
He's just a student.
Yeah. So I always like to remind myself that there are people who still take this kung foolery thing like for real. Mm-hmm. Not for like money or whatever. Not to like win award. There's just people out there taking this real serious.
Yes, the RZA.
Right. Outside of the RZA, of course. So
the thing that got me in that regard, well, this I think is the first time I'm seeing this mm-hmm. video about the Shaolin. So I don't think I've actually seen like video of like real Shaolin warrior monks. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of surprising on its own. But what really got me in this regard was I think it must have been like probably a decade ago. So Damien, you know, one of the many things I love in this world of cinema is our man Jackie Chan.
Yep.
And he does the kung foolery at its best. Right.
All right.
He's up there. Yeah, he's up
there.
No,
I know right. Where you're going. That's all right. I'll give you that.
Right. Mm-hmm. But he does a lot of different styles of kung fu throughout all of his movies. Yes. Especially when you go to like the older ones, right? The newer ones, like he's just kind of generic, like right. Keep fighting until you win. Right. And I was always fascinated by this idea being like, how are there all these styles? And they do. And then I saw this thing where they're like, yeah, we just sit down and we make this shit up like before we do.
Yep. Yep.
Like maybe there's like a little piece of document somewhere that kind of gives us an idea right. For something one
but
day.
We but shit up.
Make up like 80% of the yep. Shit up.
It is why, look, really, like, I grew up watching a... just ridiculous amount of kung fu movies. And for a long time, I thought they made all of this shit. Like, none of it was based in any actual... I knew there were people who were fighting, but, like, the actual kung fu parts are just, like, they're making all... like, Hollywood and the... Like,
so you're telling me...
And, like, Hong Kong culture.
Eagle style.
Right.
The eagle claw style. Right. And the snake style.
Snake style, uh-huh.
Not real?
They fall under the big umbrella bullshit
style. What's the name of that movie, Andrew? I'm trying to remember. Something about Eagle.
Eagle in Snake's Shadow.
Yeah. That movie is amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
Which doesn't make any sense because the eagle is above the snakes, or why is he in the snake's shadow? That's confusing as shit.
That's how good the eagle is.
It's because the eagle has taken the snake and thrown it up in the air. You know, like how we throw peanuts so that the peanut can then fall right. back in your mouth. It now has its beak open. Mm-hmm. The snake is about to come into its mouth. And, you know, there's a bit of a shadow.
I mean,
but I have a better question. Yes. I have a better question for you, Damien. There was a show that we once spoke of very highly.
Oh my God, yes.
And then it had a troubling time.
It had the worst time.
But then it said, we promise you we're coming back, but only one more.
Yep.
So it has now come to an end, and that show is Legion. The X-Men spin-off show. And we have now, I believe, come to the point at which we can all discuss this together.
Yes, sir.
So before we continue, for anyone listening, if you are not up to date and you care very much, we're probably going to spoil the entirety of Legion. So take this here. And now we may continue.
Legion.
Damien, I love season 3 of Legion oh so much.
Yes, sir.
Right? The inclusion of the time travel.
With the
time girl. Which is just listening to her music and saying weird shit.
Yep.
And whatever those time demons are.
I love the way, the style of them, the art of them.
That's what they got back to in season 3. Making everything look cool as shit.
No, I think because I did something different from, I don't know you, Andrew, but definitely from what you did, Damien. I actually was behind for a long time on season 3 because I decided as soon as season 3 started to instead start watching from season 1.
You're right.
And what I realized about why, and I like the third season as well. Why I like season 1 versus season 2, and why I like season 3 versus season 2, and I think season 1 and season 3 have something in common, which is this. All three of those seasons, you know, they actually kind of looked pretty. They had all of the stylized stuff on it. Mm-hmm. But the difference was season 1 and season 3, you kind of felt like there was an impetus. There was something that was driving David or whatever, whenever you were watching it, to go from point A to point B. And they're almost, you may not have actually known what the goal was, but you felt like there was a goal being attained somewhere. Right? Mm-hmm. You didn't really feel that in season 2. There were some cool things about it. There was, you know, you got Amon Farouk, who is just amazing. But that was probably the best thing in that season. Yeah. And then you had shitty episodes. So even in season 1 and season 3, you had these episodes that were off topic. That were, you kind of wonder.
Oh, they had the best off topic episode this season.
So you'd watch them and you kind of wonder, what are they? But they would still, and this comes back to the impetus thing. They would, even when you weren't sure what was happening, you're like, all right, I'll watch it. And then maybe it took to the next episode, but at some point it wrapped it into the narrative and you're like, oh, I see what they're doing there. Even in season 2, they didn't do that. They had this one-off episode. And for the life of me, after watching it the second time, I have no clue.
When they're just like,
as someone who's never gone back to season 2, I barely remember anything about that other than they were racing in the desert that whole time.
In season 2, there's an episode where they're just like, these are the different timelines.
Yeah, this is what could have happened to David.
And you're just like, I know you guys want to show that his power is immense, but I think what happened in season 2 is that the story didn't dictate the visual style. I think season 1 and especially season 3, all the visuals were to connect you somehow with what is happening in the story. In season 2, it was like the people who are designing sets and doing like and directing Legion are top class. Like, it is always beautiful to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But in season 2, none of it felt in service of anything. It was just, as Andrew said,
people spending a long time driving in the desert. Season 2 only has one episode that I truly like, and it is when they kept repeating her...
Is it the dance-off?
No, man. When kept repeating her starting in the cave over and over and over, and you're just like, oh, this is actually her story. And you get some backstory on... What's her name? The girlfriend. Can't remember her name.
Really, Damien?
Don't care. Anyways.
Do you have a problem with female men? Is that what it is?
In season 3, however. <Yeah. laughs> Cannot. Season 3, I told Douglas, I'm like, listen, from episode 1, this is going to be. Yep. And Douglas watched the first maybe 15 minutes of episode 1 and was just looking at me like, Damien, I don't know, dog. This isn't looking like they change anything. And then by the end of the episode, it's just like, all right.
Yeah, there was a point in the first episode where they brought out a hook.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew. And then I was like, all right.
Like, Douglas, trust me. And I was like, I don't know, Damien. This seems to be meandering like season 2. I'm like, just give it a second. And season 3, I especially enjoy the resolution to this entire story. I didn't actually know what they were going to do to resolve it. Clearly, it would involve time travel. They made that very explicit.
Mm-hmm.
And once the Time Eaters started to show up, you're just like, this show is just crazy enough to just have him, reset humanity. Just him alone and the thing that everyone was worried about in season 2, which they finally explained in season 3, where she came back and she's just like, this is how David destroys the world. Because when she said it in season 2, you assumed he just used his power recklessly and it triggered the downfall of humanity.
He became a nuclear explosion, right.
But
basically.
Then you realize, no, he was just like, I know how to fix this, and got it wrong. And just every part of season 3 flowed into the other episode, and even the 2 episodes that weren't directly dealing with what is happening here and now, the one with his parents and the one with his girlfriend having her second childhood. Rafi is, as the wolf, is just
so good.
You guys told me, and even though you told me, I was just like when I saw him the first time, like, are these people serious? But as the episode progressed, you're just like, oh, this is good.
Did you tell her about chlamydia? Did
you tell her?
Oh!
And especially your friend.
Jason Mantzoukas is so good. He needs to be in more things.
Especially your friend,
Father?
The surrogate father, yeah, him.
Oh, no. Yeah. I know what you mean. Jermaine Clement.
Yes.
Jermaine.
I thought you meant actual Professor Xavier.
No, not him.
Actually.
They have a actually rap battle.
Too, but the rap battle. That rap battle.
Yeah, that was fun.
If they started the season and it was just that rap battle and they said credits, I'd have gone season 3. Is that success?
Yeah. I mean, it...
Because it only makes sense in this show.
Of course. And the thing that I loved about it is it wasn't quite as good as, but it reminded me enough of the...
The dance-off?
Not the dance-off. What Jermaine Clement... What we know him for.
Right.
Right? The Flight of the Conchords.
Right.
That I got to laugh on multiple levels.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really
And they
happy.
Did that on purpose.
Yeah.
It's...
I love that he makes him cry.
And that's how he wins. He just says something like super painful. Yep. And he's just like, you hurt my feelings. I'm going to go tell mommy.
So everything about this show went back to being weird, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Where,
put it this way, this show has been known in my apartment as the show you need to be on acid to watch, yeah, as Renato will walk by and see it and be like, what crap?
He's like, like, I can't imagine watching this actually on drugs. You'd lose your mind. Or it would make perfect sense. it felt so good to know that they knew what they were doing. To have confidence in them again, going, this is exactly what I wanted from season two, but didn't get. Because season two did not leave me feeling that at the end of season two, I'm just like, oh, season one was that was a mistake. Like, they just, they're like, no one understood what made this show good. Like, they got one thing right in the Shadow King, Amal Farouk, but everything else they got way wrong. Some of those episodes are so bad, they made me upset. You're just like, I don't know if this is still the same show. This sucks.
Damian, about halfway through season two, I had to stop. Right? I stopped for like a week or two. Like,
Can't do this.
Yeah.
I like One Punch Man season two. I immediately deleted season two of the show. I don't need it. Yes, I will. Years from now, I won't quite remember where Amal Farouk came in, but that's fine.
I like past Amal Farouk.
Mm-hmm.
The way he was so unkempt, yeah. And the show that, you know, no. They did this weird thing where they're like, oh, I came from the future to help you because, yes, I know that I was an asshole back then.
It's so good, though.
Well, but yeah, it was pretty good.
I liked meeting young Farouk.
Yeah.
Because you can say, oh, no, he was a monster.
And also us finally then being like, here's Charles Xavier, his father.
Yep.
And we're like, oh, he has mind bullets.
Yep. Oh my god, it's so awesome. His mother is awesome. Like, season three is exactly what it needed to be. The final episode where they explain why her teeth are falling out and what happens at the end of that was awesome. She explaining to them that, listen, none of the, like, you guys, the version of you that experienced all of this, I'm just letting you guys see, because mm-hmm. we're resetting all of it. I'm just letting you guys see that it is all going to, like, all of the bad shit that he did, that David, because David became a monster.
Oh, he did. And I just love that they 100%. Show it.
100%.
I mean, and so they show it, they show other people see it. And it's not just, so even in season two, right? Everybody says, oh, you're a monster. Mm. And you can still, as a viewer, say, is he though?
Yeah.
Right? He does some bad things, but you're just like, yeah, but, mm-hmm. you know, circumstances.
Right.
Right? I don't think there is any argument that can be made in this season. And what's great about it, two things. One is that you see him, like, not even realize it, but become it and say things and then kind of stop himself and be like, did I say? Like, I remember there was something that kept with me or stayed with me that he said. He said something to the extent of, listen, nothing that can hurt me is real.
Yes.
Nothing, like, other people aren't real. Yep. Nothing that I don't understand is real. Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? And you see everybody else, including his father, who, by the way, met him 10 minutes ago, mm-hmm. right? 10 minutes in, he's like, oh, I messed this boy up.
Yeah. This went all the way bad.
But what I also love about that kind of coming to grips, right, mm-hmm. is that these people, including, what's her name, Damian?
What's her face?
The girlfriend.
Couldn't care any less.
Really?
Sid.
Really? Damien?
I don't know. I don't remember her name.
Syd Barrett.
Who cares?
Who, by the way, I'm sure I must have said this when the first season came around, but kudos for giving a character name, the name of a great musician. Mm-hmm. Syd Barrett is, I don't know what he was, if he was a lead or whatever from Dark Side of the Moon. What's that band Pink again? Floyd? Yeah, Pink Floyd. Thanks. And I remember I had one of his albums.
The only Syd I know came from Final Fantasy.
There you go.
And so that's why I don't remember her name.
but she, you know,
she's awesome.
Yeah, but she's awesome. But both she and her father, she and his father rather, get to the stage where they're like, "Yo, this boy, something wrong with him."
Yeah.
But I'm going to like, I see that I must help him. I can help him, and in helping him, this, you know, you almost have a level of understanding, and I don't want to say pity, but like, you know, saying, oh, it's, let's try and get to where you need to go, let's help fix you, you know,
right? They realize that the reason the world is ending is because he got messed up real early. And yeah. So while David present is straight garbage, like, we have one shot to fix this. Because the present that we live in with this monster is not okay. And I especially enjoy watching Farouk explain to young Farouk that, listen, we did this. Like, it wasn't the initial aim. We just wanted a vessel to hide out in. But the ramifications of all of that is that we weren't trying to be monsters, but we inadvertently created the one that will end it. Because like, it is watching everyone come to terms with the fact that he is so cartoonishly powerful that they accept that he doesn't truly understand anymore what the difference between his reality and everyone else's reality.
Because he can literally make everyone else's reality his reality. Right. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, oh, but it was so, it was just so refreshing to know that a series can be saved like that. I know it's over, which is good.
Can I just say, we've not really mentioned it.
What?
But my favorite, it's strange for me to have a favorite shot from this season.
Okay.
There's this moment when the Time Eaters are going amok and people are, shit's going bad. Yes. And finally, my boy David gets upset. Mm-hmm. And you see him just do like the Hindu image with the hands. And they just all turn to middle fingers and he's like, bye. And it lights on fire. And I've been using that GIF online, and oh, I love that shot so much.
It's pretty good.
I may use it in the Tump WhatsApp group from time to time, giving forewarning.
It's pretty good.
Yep.
This show is really good. I'm so glad that they fixed it. That, I mean, 66% is a D.
It's still a degree.
It is. I'll take it.
Nobody asks you for your grades after you're done.
A pass is still a pass. Well done, Legion. It was weird because, of course, I told everyone I knew that listened to me. I'm like, listen, you guys have to watch Legion. And I told them after the end of season one, which means they got through season one and then I was just like, what the fuck is happening? And it's hard to defend. After you tell everyone to watch something, it's hard to look at them and go, listen, I recommended season one. We're in the same boat for season. I can't help you. Like, you're on your own. I don't know what to do. Please go away. But I am very, very, very happy that Legion turned out okay. Sad that it's done now, mm-hmm. unless...
I'm very sad because
Disney reboots it.
My problem also is that I know we will probably never again see Mr. Scientist Carey. He mm-hmm. is...
Both of them.
Both of them are great. But he, like, if I had to choose, it would be him. I love him to death.
Yes.
Talking about Disney.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Do we want to talk about Disney news?
Sure.
So our favorite TV show,
yes,
the MCU,
our longest running
had recently this summer retired two of their characters mm-hmm. permanently.
Yes.
Right.
Thanos.
And
and young Thanos.
Captain America and Iron Man.
Oh, sorry.
And yes, I guess Thanos was retired. I didn't count him.
He's my favorite.
I apologize, Damien. I did not count your favorite Super Saiyan.
I am inevitable.
However, this past week, they seem to maybe have had to retire mm-hmm. by not their complete choice, mm-hmm. Spider-Man.
Yes.
Because business daddy don't want to play well.
Yep. I'm very happy about this turn of it.
Really?
Yeah. Because Into the Spider-Verse is the best Spider-Man movie. I know that all efforts will be into making more Into the Spider-Verse. No more real Spider-Man. Fuck that shit. Fuck about that shit. More Spider-Verse.
And they've already greenlit Venom 2. I'm sure you're happy about that. Yep.
Spider-Verse. Focus, Andrew. Spider-Verse. Spider-Verse.
Listen, but Damian,
Sony
I'm
bought
pretty
Insomniac.
Sure they can get Meryl Streep to be in Venom 2.
Sony bought Insomniac, so now we're going to get more Spider-Man games, which is another win.
Mm-hmm.
Sony owns the Spider-Man property, so they don't give a shit. So the only people that are really hurt are you jokers at the MCU. I ain't give a shit.
That is not true, Damian. Douglas will understand my pain mm-hmm. in coming to the realization that Happy will have known that it was only a summer fling now. It will never continue.
Uh-huh.
Happy and not me.
Yep.
I'm joking, right? I'm joking. Like, seriously, I really don't care that hard other than I actually liked the Spider-Man movies. I mean, I agree, Damien. Spider-Verse is better, but fuck you.
Douglas can go first, but let's just so that everybody knows, it's fucking real. Like, guys, it's about money.
I know, right?
Disney has all of it, and Sony wants more of it. So as soon as Disney goes, fuck it, and agrees to or negotiates closer to the figure that Sony says, I'm sure they'll get it back. That's all Disney
I'm sure.
Works.
Yeah. I was about to say, I'm about 1,000% sure that this is bullshit.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. That someone is using this for leverage.
Exactly. Right? This is them.
You're saying this is a Lukaku movie?
Yeah.
Exactly. Think about it this way. They just finished filming and releasing the biggest Spider-Man movie ever. Mm-hmm. Right? They probably weren't going to film another Spider-Man movie for, say, I don't know, 2 years.
Right.
He might not have been in another Marvel movie for, say, a year.
Right.
They've got time.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to iron it out. Whoever wants to be a producer in name can be a producer.
Right.
Whoever wants to get paid an extra $10,000 can get paid it. And then they're going to
This is literally about a figure. None of us know what the figure is.
Yep.
I'm sure Disney's like, listen, motherfuckers, we're about to lose a truck ton of money with this Disney Plus shit so that we can compete with Netflix. Fuck off. And Sony's,
I can't wait for Disney Plus.
And Sony's just like, give a fuck. I have to launch a PS5 next year. We're going to lose a ton of money on that. Just give me money.
While we're at it, just buy Insomniac games for me.
Right.
So we have more Spider-Man in-house.
We need enough I just bought Insomniac. Just give me back the money that we spent on Insomniac.
we'll sign on this line and fuck you. Like, this is just business wranglings. I don't even know what, like, someone is trying to use this as leverage. Mm-hmm. Just trying to get fans upset to put pressure on one side or the other. And whoever has the better bargaining chips probably come out. Like, if both of them are pissed at the end of this negotiation, it's a good negotiation. Everyone's like, fuck the other team. But I really don't see this ending how all the articles have been written. I doubt it very much.
No, like you see, here lies the thing. Number one, like how you said, Damien, we don't know the real news, right? I'm sure an agreement will come. And if it doesn't, who cares? But here lies the thing, and this is, might be just my the way I think of these things. I kind of had it almost as a thought exercise where I was curious, thinking, what if it stays as is right now? What if Sony keeps Spider-Man?
Right.
He never shows up in the MCU again. Mm-hmm. Would they make another Peter Parker movie? Because Spider-Verse was so good. Venom was so profitable. I won't use the word good. Right. And when they get around to another Peter Parker movie, would they just reboot it again? Would they continue from where it left off? Would they then, like, find some funny way to be like, oh, I don't remember who gave me this magical suit? Mm-hmm. Or, like, what would be... I'm always fascinated by the interrelationship between business and creative for movies. Because I'm Damien, I'm sure you know more. What? Whatever. No, but I'm just
laughing about.
I'm just always interested to hear about those considerations, right? Because I think one that I remember reading about like a few years back, which I found fascinating, a movie that I'm sure we all love. And if Damien doesn't like it, then fuck you, Damien. You love this movie, so be quiet. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Right.
Right.
Damien, remember, yes. You love this movie, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I really do.
Sorry, who loves this movie?
He says, I love this movie.
Do you?
Yeah, he says so.
Do I love this movie?
Apparently.
Okay.
I'm assuming you do, Douglas, yes. So shut the fuck up. But anyways, back to where I was going with this anyways. Anywhere, where I was actually going with this, right? That movie, when it was made, and because of what it wanted to do with the world of animation, and they wanted to have these references from, like, Looney Tunes, Hanna-Barbera, and all the other companies that were big at the time, they had to get all of these companies to play nice. And they eventually agreed to a deal, but only upon the addendum that no company got preference. So then they wrote the script around the fact that making sure that no character from any one company had more lines than the opposite character of that sense. And I find that somewhat fascinating somehow, to just see that kind of craziness go on. Sometimes it's rich people lunacy hilarity to me. And the other time, it's just how do you get around constraints kind of stories. Right? And seeing this happen to Spider-Man, like, I'm sincerely curious about what a writer would do with this.
Yeah.
Especially given the popularity that these movies had and the trouble that everyone had rebooting, and they finally hit a sweet spot with these stories.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you hit the nail on the head when you were saying, you know, what could they do? You have to remember, this last Spider-Man... And I feel good that I was on Twitter today because I read this. Was Ooh. The biggest,
yes.
the highest grossing Spider-Man ever.
Inflation.
Right? So, you know, as great...
Every Spider-Man was the highest grossing.
Actually, no, that's not true.
No. Andrew Garfield.
Trust me. Yeah, man.
Did not do it.
Sam Raimi did good. All right? Mm-hmm. For the first two. But... they would definitely try and continue. They'd try and continue with the same actor. Everything. They would definitely do the thing where they'd be like, I think I know where I got this suit from, but let's not worry about
they
that.
They just never talk about
They just
the suit.
Never talk
just
about
have
anything
new
else.
And awesomer suits. Yeah. And they just move on.
Yeah. And they'd no longer play with the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. They'd now just have the villains that were just in Spider-Man comics. Mm-hmm. They'd have the friends that were just in Spider-Man comics, and that would be it. And I think the most creative thing you'd see, and it might actually be something interesting, but I feel like it wouldn't work, would be Roger Rabbit, where they might try and put the Peter Parker Spider-Man into and merge it into the Spider-Verse Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And Spider-Verse. That would probably be a train wreck. What they do need to do, though, is to focus up. I need 3 more Spider-Verses. Yes. All right?
Yeah. Fuck about the
Spider-Verse.
I don't give a fuck about The Matrix 4. All right?
Oh, my God.
Which we can talk about if we want to talk about that. Please. But
no,
one Spider-Verse.
Oh, my God.
5, 6, and 7. Okay?
I wouldn't trust the Wachowskis with anything at this point. It's the last good movie they made. The
Matrix 1.
The Matrix 1.
No.
Speed Racer.
The Matrix 1.
No.
Damon, say it with me.
Listen.
The first. Listen. The last. The only.
All Times Magnolia is good. Right? Listen,
All Times Magnolia
Sense
is
eight.
I like that movie a
lot. No, you don't. You know how I know that? You've never
it
seen
again.
It again. It's so easy to call you guys under the bullshit.
Anyways, moving on.
No, let us
I got
talk,
to talk about Spider-Man.
The mattresses.
Oh, really? All right, go ahead.
Fort mattresses.
Go ahead.
What the fuck are they going to do in that movie?
I love how...
it's going to be John Wick. It's going to be John
yeah,
Wick
exactly.
if they
in
do that,
Matrix Land.
Yeah. That's what they need to do.
If they do that, if they just put out John Wick 4
yeah.
and instead of Parabellum, put Matrix. I'm like, all right.
So first of
we
all,
did it.
Jason Mantzoukas, you need to brush off your resume and take it over to Lana Wachowski and get that role. But the next thing is...
Is he going to play the wolf?
You know what?
Yeah.
I'd like that. I mean, he could be the wolf in The Matrix.
Listen,
but
Keymaker was in...
He's Mr. TikTok yeah. who got bit by a werewolf.
Keymaker was in John Wick 3.
Yeah.
The only person that hasn't appeared...
Wait, sorry, what?
The
he was a keymaker?
Yeah.
He was not.
The old
was
medicine
he the key
man
maker?
Was the key maker.
Oh, the old medicine. Oh, because I'm thinking that... I thought mm-hmm. it was the guy that's smiling while he's dying.
You thought it was Iron Chef?
Yes, Iron
no,
Chef.
No, that's just racist. You are racist.
But yeah, now that you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
The only person that hasn't appeared in it is What's Her Face.
What's Her Face?
Yes.
What's Her Face wife? What's Her Face? What's Her Face wife?
Whatever.
Okay. Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher.
I thought you were going
to
say...
I'm waiting to see if you'd catch
Pickett
me.
Or something. But,
Jada Pickett.
Yeah.
I said so, the Matrix. Talking the good one.
The
Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah, Carrie Ann Moss. The thing about this news, because mm-hmm. I read a couple of the articles today
yeah.
That I love. Are all the people that are like, how is this going to work? Both those people are dead. Well, they can't write that story. And not realizing that this is a Matrix.
They
could be computer programs.
Right.
They could be in the past as their older selves.
Excuse me,
like,
that's impossible.
Come on.
How would you do that in computer?
They actually recast someone because they died between 2 and 3.
Yeah, yeah, they did.
And they just kept going. Mm-hmm. So, you know. Whatever.
Exactly.
Like, how is he... Like, look, I know Neo can dodge bullets. But... Like, what would be made... Like, I don't trust the Wachowskis to get it right. Because they didn't...
Yeah,
they had two more cracks at it. Got it wrong.
Yeah.
Then they kept putting out increasingly worse and worse movies.
It was upsetting. Because the second Matrix was average. It was all right. And then the third one was just god awful.
I know you guys like Cloud Atlas, and that's just fine.
I do like Cloud Atlas. Mm. And I have to say that upon reflection, I've said this before on this podcast, I appreciate what they were doing with that fuchsia vomit known as Speed Racer.
Oh my god.
Speed Racer.
I appreciate it. Never outside.
Like, so much so that I kind of want to wait maybe another year and watch it again because they're trying to do what you and I love. They're trying to just
be
mindless and stupid.
Damien, I'm going to make a promise to you,
the
Damien.
The original cartoon.
Yeah.
And I watched that movie. And was like, I don't know what the fuck is happening.
And then Andrew loved it so much, I watched that movie again. And the second time made me more upset with myself because I knew it was bad the first time. I didn't need to do this. It's not good. It's not like you can pretend, but Andrew's bad. It's a bad movie.
Damien, I make one solemn promise to you.
Yes.
I've gotten Douglas starting to bend around on Speed Racer. Mm-hmm. This podcast will never die until he comes around on Almost Famous.
Fuck Almost Famous! Ryan, you hear that? Mm-hmm. You hear that? Yeah. It's over.
A movie, right?
No. You know why it's bad?
Yeah. Oh, no, I know.
Because when I was watching it, yeah. Andrew came over and smiled at me. I know why you... Fuck that movie.
No, I know why you will hate that movie, for I agree with you. There's people in my household that will never watch Fury Road for that exact same reason. They just see my stupid face and they're just like, fuck this movie. I get it. Too much enthusiasm.
To be fair, Damien, I mean, I think you're being a little harsh with the Wachowskis because they did do Jupiter Ascending.
You know, I remember that. That is why I'm telling you right now, I don't trust them to do jack shit. I don't know where this confidence is coming. If they said Matrix 4 from someone, not the Wachowski, I'd go, maybe someone has a creative idea.
Matrix 4 from John Wick.
Yeah.
From Taika Waititi.
Oh, no. Come on now. Don't do that.
Please.
It's not
Andrew, you're about to put pictures in my mind that should not be there.
That's not okay.
Because I will never get that.
That's not okay. Watching Taika make fun of the three previous Matrix movies. Just dumb joke after dumb joke.
All right, moving along. Is there anything we want to talk about?
Not really.
In the week by now that we've gone through all the movie news that we don't do usually.
I thought that we'd be able to talk about Preacher, but it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it clearly doesn't make sense. Yeah. Because we have to talk about the Wheel of Time on Amazon. No, yes. We don't.
I mean, you seem to really enjoy.
I really enjoy those books, but I mean, you guys have no clue what it is.
No, I know.
So it don't make sense.
I've had friends that also,
other than like that thing that Douglas read a lot,
love that book.
Yeah,
but I just heard that it was Lord of the Rings light.
It's, I guess, it's more kind of like Harry Potter, actually, in the mechanics of it.
No, I was just talking about in terms of scope, not in terms of content.
In
terms scope. Of scope. Right.
If they wanted to, show will never end.
It is the end of this.
Yeah.
But it's... I am endlessly more fascinated by that than Matrix 4.
Oh, wow.
And I know what the Matrix 4... Yeah. Matrix 4 is a property that I love the first Matrix like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I have no interest in seeing Matrix 4.
Mm-hmm.
I would watch Wheel of Time.
I mean, the Wheel of Time, it's going to be tricky. They're going to have to figure out how to put magic on screen. Literal magic. But, yeah.
Call David Blaine. Did it. It took some time, but I got it done.
Oh, boy. Okay. But, yes. I think we should not try and become the the movie news podcast.
Oh, no,
again.
This is a one-off. We don't actually do this. No one cares. Listen, unless you want me to talk about sports.
So, all right, there's only one thing I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I know it's because for some reason I think we were all excited for this, but I don't know why. But I have not heard from either of you two mention on this thing. I powered through this past weekend the Netflix series.
I haven't finished
The Naked Director.
Oh, wait, what?
The Naked Director.
What's that?
This is the Japanese series about the man whose name I've already forgotten, who is known as the Naked Director, who revolutionized pornography in Japan.
I do remember this.
Right. He added squares to penises?
Basically.
He did that for a while.
Squares.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I don't even recall.
The trailer looked awesome.
Seeing this or wanting to
watch the trailer looked awesome.
I thought we were going to talk about something else, which I have not finished.
I don't know what you were.
Well, there's only one new show that's on.
The Wu Assassin.
Actually.
Oh,
you mean Mindhunter.
I need to talk about that.
I have not started Mindhunter season 2 yet.
David, I mean, Andrew, why? Why?
Because I watched the Naked
Director. I have a reason for not finishing. It's because I'm an old man and I'm tired. Right? And sports.
Okay, so the Naked Director. Also, let me get through the Naked Director and then you can scream about Mindhunter.
Okay, cool.
The Naked Director.
Is it good?
This show is just above okay.
Damn it.
It has, like, the first half of it is so fucking good, right? It's only 8 episodes. The first episode, he's not even doing any pornography. He is just a salesman of English encyclopedias or textbooks.
Yeah, that makes sense. Those and, guys are all perverts.
Right? And it's hilarious to me because he's the worst salesman. And then they're like, you go and sit with the good salesman for a while and hopefully you'll get some of his goodness. Right? And he fucks with him by taking him to a Yakuza's house and says, go sell to that lady. And it is amazingly ridiculous. And I love it in all of its Japanese ridiculousness that it has. And it continues from there because the next episode is straight into pornography because his woman leaves him. And it is, like, it feels ridiculous at every step. And part of it is because they treat you as if you don't know anything about the Japanese porn industry, which I think most people don't. They show you a lot of the production things, which are crazy to me. I mean, I knew a lot about the censorship. So you see him making up this whole business as it relates to magazines in Japan, because it's this show starts around the 70s, and you know, videotapes weren't popular then, so magazines, and you see people come around with rulers to kind of measure, to be like, you only blurred out 6 centimeters from the vagina. This is unacceptable. And then the guy like takes out his other ruler and is like, if you look properly, you'll see here is 10 centimeters. And it is amazing. Towards the end of the show, when they're kind of getting even bigger, so like he does like a Hollywood porn movie and all sorts of things happen, it kind of just peters out. But I enjoyed at least 80% of the show.
That's okay.
Like a lot. And I definitely like, it has that Japanese overstated ridiculousness that I love. With all of their characters, the best friend is like pretty much a Yakuza stand-in, and he is just continually going crazy. One of my favorite moments is when he meets who I will call the artistic coordinator for the pornography. One day he goes in because he's trying to find someone who will film the porn he wants. And he walks in on this guy, like, doing a shoot of a porn scene. And the guy goes, like, they're kind of bored with the scene. They don't know what to do. And the guy looks at our main character and says, all right, how would you shoot this? And then he immediately, like, gets into, like, artistic mode and sets up this whole S&M situation from, like, this quaint, nice girl thing to, like, an S&M scene. And then this artistic coordinator is basically seeing this happen. And all of the ridiculousness going on. Like, just puts himself in a corner and starts masturbating. Being like, I will now follow you to the end of the earth. And this show is that. It's the ridiculousness of it all. And I really like this show a lot. I'm talking about it more and I like it more. But yeah.
Okay. This, just remember, Andrew, this show started as just above okay.
Pretend like you haven't done this.
I know, right? I actually really love it when you can do that. When you can talk yourself into loving a movie or a TV show.
Okay. You want to go first?
Yeah, sure. The Naked Director.
Sure, I can go first. That's the only thing you want to talk about, Andrew?
I mean, I watch some old-timey movies, but I mean, Damien doesn't need to hear me tell him about the 60s Manchurian Candidate.
I suppose.
Yeah. And actually, the other one I saw, which I'll just mention quickly, which I feel is less known, is a movie from 1959 I watched by Carol Reed, the guy who did The Third Man, the famous The Third Man. This movie is called Our Man in Havana, and it stars Alec Guinness, who, for those of you who don't know him, he is Obi-Wan Kenobi in the old-time Star Wars movies.
No, I thought that was...
But this is from 1959. He's a lot younger.
That's what we meant.
This is...
Okay.
Freddy's son. This movie is set in Cuba, obviously from the title, Our Man in Havana. And Alec Guinness is a vacuum cleaner salesman. And he is approached by a British spy who recruits him to be a British spy to, like, purvey the scenario and find out what's going on in the world and send back information. And he is bad at being a spy. And so eventually he just starts making up shit to send back to England. Mm-hmm. And as you can imagine from the story, everything gets bigger and bigger and overblown. And it's a fun movie. Like, I really enjoyed this movie. Like, yeah.
I need to write that movie. Mm-hmm. Or no, you know what that needs to be? A rap line. Purvey the scenario. But yes, okay. So I'll go and talk about a few things. First up, Damian.
Hi.
We talk a lot about stand-up.
Yes.
Did you know? I know we talk about stand-up on Comedy Central, mm-hmm. stand-up, and the latest thing is Netflix comedy specials.
Netflix also has comedy specials.
Did you know that Amazon has comedy specials now?
I am aware.
Are you sure those aren't sit-down stand-ups?
They're sit-downs. Actually, they kind of are. So I watched a piece of one the other day that I didn't ever want to talk about. But this one has a big enough person that I think we do need to at least talk about it. Mm-hmm. Andrew, this is a guy you really like. Did you know that Jim Gaffigan has a new stand-up special?
I think I've seen like things about it, but I've not heard or watched it.
I watched this stand-up special for 7.5 minutes? 8 minutes? Mm-hmm. It's not good.
It is bereft of jokes.
Oh my God. And this is a man I've watched multiple specials from. Really like him. I know he's, you know, I know a lot of people kind of look at him and say, but he doesn't say naughty words. Why would you like that? Yeah, but funny. He is so funny.
It's not the naughty words I'm laughing at. It is jokes.
Yeah. And it's clear that he went on stage and he said, well, people like me when I say things in this voice. Mm-hmm. So I'll do that.
Yeah. Talk about bacon.
I talk about the fact that I'm fat.
Yeah.
Actually, shirt. I can't remember exactly what the joke was, but there was a joke where I said to myself, I'm pretty sure I've heard him say this joke.
Yeah,
before.
That's the part of the problem with this special.
Yeah.
Is that some of these jokes are lifted from better specials.
Mm-hmm. So I got very upset and turned it off. But I thought that we should at least recognize the fact that Amazon is doing poorly at what Netflix is doing well at.
I mean, saying Amazon is doing
is Netflix doing well?
Netflix has good ones, and Dave Chappelle is coming in like a week or so.
I feel like all the ones I've watched from Netflix I've not enjoyed since Chappelle.
So Netflix, Netflix. I'm not gonna say they have a good hit rate, right?
Yeah.
Because they might not. I don't know, but they do have a lot of good ones. As you said, Acaster is great. What was his name? Ari Shaffir. Schloss is great. Chappelle is great. Mm-hmm. There are a few things.
Bert Kreischer.
The machine. But yeah. They have enough.
Bumping mics.
Yeah, enough that I will always, if I see something pop up, I'll always at least start.
They had bumping mics.
I love bumping mics. I know it's not really stand up, but now that we're talking about things like that, they have historical roasts.
Yeah.
Come on.
I only got through one of those episodes. What? I couldn't do it, guys.
You should power through. Trust me.
I only watched the first one.
Again, so good. You should power through. They get way, way better.
Yeah. But so speaking of Netflix, we can talk about now the good side of things.
Yes.
And I'm actually not going to oversell this. I don't think this was like one of the bangers, but it was all right. They have a new guy, Simon Amstel. Do you know him?
Mm-hmm.
He has a special now on, and it was pretty decent. It was all right. But I was a little disappointed. Yeah, that one. I was a little disappointed because it didn't start the way it should have started. In the middle there somewhere, he has a line.
Oh my God.
He says, you know, I think the problem is we don't die quick enough.
Yeah, too many people.
That should have been the opener, and it was not.
The trailer for this special.
Yeah, the trailer's good. Yeah.
Allowed me to power through the 20 minutes of abject garbage to start out. That bit with his father, and it's real trash.
Yeah.
But I remember the trailer was funny, so I was waiting on those jokes. And
they kind of come, you know.
Right, they came, but it wasn't rewarding.
No, it wasn't.
The hit rate, as Douglas said earlier, for the jokes, not real high.
Mm-hmm.
There are laughs, though.
It was good enough for me. I watched all of it. Right? So it was good enough, but it's not like... Don't watch this and think, hey, it's going to be real
I will recommend
fun.
This to anybody. Yeah. I'm surprised that you actually brought it up.
Well, only because I know you are an aficionado and I was wondering if you had
I just watched it. I like jokes.
Yeah. But I will end with the masterpiece.
Yes.
I have finally begun or recommenced my... James Bond-a-thon.
Okay.
And I watched License to Kill. That movie's awesome.
Pierce Brosnan is killing the game.
Yeah, he is. I mean, listen. I love there's a...
I love how quickly you're just like, yeah. Like, no hesitation. No, no, just like, moving on.
Oh boy,
so good.
Yeah. but yeah, this movie's great. I really do love the Pierce Brosnan Bonds, the two of them that there are. Mm-hmm. Much more than I thought I would, because I remember this is probably the first time when I was being a conscious human being that I watched James Bond movies.
Right.
It was probably right before, close to when the Tim Dalton movie, The GoldenEye, was coming out.
Right.
And it would be on HBO. And yes, I'd watched a lot of the older ones when I was young with, you know, parents, grandparents. Actually, my grandpa used to love, from my recollection, these shitty James Bond movies. But... this was me actually saying, I will watch this movie and remembering it. But I was a child, right? I could not have been... If it was very close to GoldenEye, I might have been like 10, 11. If it was closer to when it was made, I might have been like 6, 7. So it was probably in the middle there. I was probably like somewhere 9, 10, right? So I thought to myself, it's probably not that good. It's probably... You know, just a James Bond movie. But they're pretty good. I like them a lot. And I cannot wait because GoldenEye is next. I'm so happy for this.
Timothy Dalton in GoldenEye.
I am invincible!
I am Iron Man. We should just start putting that clip, just cutting that into... Every movie where a bad guy makes some big exclamation.
And I get to watch.
King Kong got shit on me! And right.
So, Damon, you may go ahead while I think about my rear end jokes, my chair and my ass jokes.
So, you guys haven't. I mean, Andrew hasn't started watching Mindhunter. So
yeah, I've watched Mindhunter. I'm probably 5 or 6 episodes in. I fucking love where this show is going.
Yo, dog, that first season was so good. I was preparing myself. I was tense, right?
But yeah, because it's hard. Right. How are you getting one of that.
Butt cheeks clenched for season two. They are now unclenched. I am in it. The only problem with Mindhunter is if you watch three episodes at a time, you won't sleep.
Yep. Have you finished it yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is so dark that you should really only watch one episode at a time.
It gets very dark. Yeah,
you shouldn't watch multiple episodes because it doesn't paint a very rosy picture of humanity and why we should still be here.
So where I am, it's about to get super dark for the older partner.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It's a time. I have to issue a retraction.
Uh-oh.
To a statement I made. Oh my god. First, let me find the name of the special.
Sorry, I didn't write this down. Mm-hmm. Now that you're speaking about specials, while you think about it, mm-hmm. I need to chastise you, Damien.
Yes, sir.
You recommended something to me.
Uh-huh.
Something with someone who I knew
mm-hmm.
I shouldn't associate myself with.
Yes.
Tiffany fucking Haddish
uh-huh.
has a television show.
Yeah.
And you told me, watch episode 2.
Yes.
And watch episode 5.
Yes.
I'll grant you this. I was able to watch most of episode 2.
Okay.
Right? So... By the way, when I watch these episodes, I realized Tiffany Haddish is actually in them.
Mm-hmm.
I just fast forwarded straight through.
That's what I did.
Through,
I didn't right? listen to any of the preamble.
I just started the thing.
I thought you knew better.
Her name is what? Flame Monroe, I think?
Yes, Flame Monroe.
To be fair, she started all right. She was never fully strong, but it was okay. But she petered out real quick. And... That was not good. Then the last one, that episode 5, mm-hmm. was... I don't think I lasted 2 minutes.
All right. Well...
Fuck that shit. That shit was bad. It was Tiffany Haddish bad. All right?
Tiffany Haddish. Why can't I
find... Yeah, why can't you find what you're looking for?
I'm trying to find the name...
They ready. Okay.
All right. So I Googled it.
That's actually what I'm doing too. Like Netflix.
I Googled it because Netflix was not helping me at all. So Whitney Cummings, I'd come on here and said, can I touch it?
It is garbage. But Bill Burr has a new Netflix special next month. I'm
terrible.
Happy for that.
How much of Can I Touch It did you watch?
Not enough. Exactly. Say that. Probably 5 minutes.
Someone said to me that because I told them about Whitney Cummings, and they're like, our new special isn't bad. And I go, you sure? It's real bad. And they're like, no, it's that bad.
It gets better?
But it picks up.
Does it?
It does pick up. It's not great. But for where it started, there are more jokes than the other special that we talked
worse?
About.
That's what I was about to ask.
It is much better than
all right, fair enough.
It starts out and you're just like, this is going to be... real bad. But then at some point she remembers that it's a comedy special and she tells some jokes. And so I would like to retract my previous statement that it is garbage. It is okay to good. It is not great.
All right.
But it is actually watchable. And so I apologize. Simon Anstell set free. Is not okay. That's not okay at all.
It's all right.
Since you people have no intention of watching War Assassins.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Damien.
Yes.
Damien White.
Mm-hmm.
Who fucking Assassin?
Yes.
So, I haven't watched a lot of it because Mindhunter.
I've seen one episode.
I have watched one episode.
I did not know that they were making a live action Ronin Warriors TV show.
Damien,
mm-hmm.
when he runs over this woman and this woman gives him a fucking piece of board and it gets absorbed into his body, and he fucking goes into the past and becomes some sort of magical warrior. I had to pause. I had to stop the episode and be like, I almost called you to be like, what the fuck? And so far, I have to tell you, the kung fu is not on point.
I thought I was going to be able, by keeping quiet, to con you idiots into punishing and
No, show's
fucking trash.
It's bad.
I do not watch Eco to watch cartoon shows.
There are some good music.
The music in there is good.
A lot of rap. There are a couple really good fight scenes for TV standards, not for Eco standards. And then there's a lot of talking. Just a crazy amount of talking. And where you can find humor in the first episode, all of that shit disappears. It is for a show called Wu Assassin. You'd think,
does the RZA or Method Man at least think show up?
Someone
once?
Would go, boy, we can go down this road and make this funnier. Have these two guys play it straight, but have everything around them be so ridiculous that you can't help but laugh. They think they're making real TV. It is bad. And I would like it to stop. So bad. So very bad. Douglas, how many seasons of Glow have you seen?
All of them.
What's up with season 3,
Douglas? You don't like season 3?
It's not what I wanted.
I agree. It's it's not as good as season 2. So I didn't like season 1 really. I don't know why I then watched season 2, but I did and adored it. Season 3, not enough Zoya.
Not enough a lot of
things. Yeah, not enough a lot of things. It was acceptable. It was all right.
This is partially my fault. I was watching this and then switched over to rewatching Atlanta. And then came back to this, which is a bad idea. Because Atlanta, and we've spoken about this many times, is damn near perfect TV. Personally, the episode with the barber is still my favorite. It's my favorite episode of Atlanta. Because while not to that extreme, I've been put through that level of shenanigans with barbers.
But Damien, I think you have to admit, Childish Gambino made a certain bad comedian look good.
I mean,
look like he knows how to make funny.
Yeah. First of all, I'll not have you speak ill about the Pimp Chronicles himself. I don't know what your issue with Cat Williams is.
Cat Williams is so bad. Fuck off. So bad.
You can't like Chris Rock and hate Cat Williams.
That's good, because I don't like Chris
Rock.
You
never like Chris Rock?
Mm-mm. Not as a stand-up.
No. I've had enough of this.
And his latest Netflix special, Don't Help.
Listen, when I talk about
A
lot of these
comedians, I know.
You must know by now that I'm not talking about the new ones.
Actually, it'd be funny for me to try and watch, because I watched those when I was much younger. It'd be fun to see if
HBO ones when he was killing it.
Yeah, because all I can kind of remember is things like be spinning and me just thinking,
they spinning, nigga, stop it. They spinning, nigga, they spinning.
And one thing I remember kind of finding funny was when he was talking about, you know, LeBron's rich. The more white man that pays him is wealthy.
Is wealthy, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm getting ready for Peaky Blinders to start back.
Oh, it's starting back?
Yes.
I need to start watching that back again.
Outside of that, I have watched all but two Premier League games.
Yeah, I've been good with that.
There are two games that are just trash and I refuse to watch. I watched 8 Serie A games.
Yeah.
And I watched, I think, 6 La Liga games.
I need to get a La Liga pass.
And so I'm dying.
I need to figure out how to watch La Liga.
I don't have sleep anymore and I'm dying.
Can't wait for the NFL to come back.
And basketball. And for Formula One to pick up again. I'm dying. Guys, I'm dying. Oh, also watch the Diamond League. It's track and field. You guys don't know what that is.
That's not a real thing.
And I'm dying.
Yeah, the sports is kind of hard. Even like, it's gotten to the stage now where I take naps on the weekend.
Yeah, wake up goddamn early.
Waking up too early.
But now I'm serving him. I never even smoked a gram of crack, but yo, I'm dope. More doper than a junkie or a pookie, cut to some. So each one, teach one. I be claiming true to East Point and College Park and the things I used to do around ATL. Home of the pimps and the money makers. Club niggas, Magic City, and the Southern Players. I never said I was a gangster, but I will do ya. So hallelujah, hallelujah. One for the players at the crib, drinking drinks. And two is for the sound. Hootie hoo that I made. Hootie hoo.